Welcome to the acclaimed podcast, Deep Dive with Andy and the White Whale.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. It's Monday. Week 8 is mostly in the books. Week 9 on the horizon. Yesterday was a brutally tough day. Ended up not doing as poorly as it looked like I could have done. There was a point in time where in the morning slate, it looked like every one of my bets could have won. And then 5 minutes later, it was like every single one was going to lose. I was sweating hard in the fourth quarter of those 1 p.m. games. Oh, my goodness, man. And I don't know, how did your Sunday go? Did you have a little bit easier time than I did, or was it equally sweaty for you?
Yeah, it wasn't great. I mean, it was about, yeah. What's the old thing? It's what you say no matter what when you're a gambler. About even.
Yeah, about even.
But no, it was right around even. I had Seattle really let me down, but they ended up closing out a teaser for me, which was nice. I added the Vikings very late. That was a nice win, especially how they looked in the first half against the powerhouse Browns in London. And,
you're telling me you went about even though you hit your 135 unit bomb on the Ravens on Thursday Night Football?
Yeah, God, I looked at that. We've all done that. Haven't you ever gone in? And I was going to post that, but I was up like, well, no matter what, I'm up 101 units so far. But no, I got a couple zeros, I guess. I only bet it for regular amounts. And for the record, we did record that before the game started.
We did. And I did bet that. And I did too. Dude, you know what's crazy? That is the only side that I bet all week that was a winner. Every other side I picked this week was a loser. And some of them were just brutal, man. Oh, God. I don't even know where to start, man. Let me go back to Thursday real quick. That I had the over also. Over was part of my posted card. And it was, what did I have, like 37? So I desperately needed some miracle at the end of that game. And the pick six, have it happen on a pick six in the end of the first quarter was just awesome. And I really feel for anyone who was on the under of that game, because that was a truly an under game. Like, the over had no business hitting when one team gets shut out. That's just absolutely crazy. And yeah, the Ravens cover, that was a winner.
It's been such a long time since Thursday. I did a Ravens under teaser also for fun.
It looked
just golden, and then it got a little dicey on under 44. I think it was sitting at, and boy, it got a little tight at the end there. I said, well, I don't need this.
Ooh, it sure did. Yeah. Do you think so? Does this mean the Ravens are for real? They head to Tennessee. Tennessee's coming off their bye this week. We don't have a line yet because it's unclear whether Flacco is going to be cleared from the concussion protocol. Although John Harbaugh is saying everything that you want to hear if you want Flacco to be in that game. If it's Mallett versus Mariota, this is a complete stay away. But if it's Flacco Mariota, I might be giving the Ravens a little bit of a closer look. The way that defense stepped up on Thursday night was super impressive.
They looked good. That was one of those moments where you had to instantly get on Twitter and just wait for the captions of Flacco with his finger up to pour in.
Oh, my goodness.
He looked so goofy. He was like Troy Aikman out of it. Like, dude, he had the old Humana Humana commercials. Man, he might not ever play again. His brains were rattled.
Yeah, so
I haven't that much for nothing on that. You never know. Concussions are really weird. Some guys will come back right away, and sometimes a guy sits out for 6 weeks.
They are really weird, and we don't know what to expect, but I think, at least based on what Harbaugh said today, I bet you Flacco plays. And it's so crazy being a football fan in 2017. Like, you can't help but like laugh at that, but you know that this guy could be taking years off this guy's life. He just got fucking decapitated. But still, like, the look on his face when he's got his finger in the air, like he's going to ask make a point of parliamentary order, or he's going to ask for another drink when he's too drunk. It was unbelievable. Ravens, I'm not interested in them at all in the futures market by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think this is a playoff team. This looks like a team that kind of sucks some weeks and defense carries them to victory some weeks, and they probably finish 8-8. But with that said, the Vikings, man, I'm on the opposite side of the fence with them, man. They are the real deal. Case Keenum, keep playing him at quarterback. I don't care how healthy Teddy Bridgewater is. Case Keenum was making really, really, really tough throws. He was not check down Charlie on Sunday against the Browns. And granted, the Browns are not a great defense by any stretch of the imagination. But the Browns were playing frisky, you know?
Their defensive line, their front four was looking very good. They have some good pieces there. They'll definitely build off that if they can. You know, they just need a quarterback and some wide receivers.
I'm probably back the Browns when they come off their bye here, even though Hugh Jackson is unfortunately still the coach. But the Vikings are a team to absolutely be circling in the futures market, looking at them for. I finally got invested in the Vikings for a relatively reasonable amount on Friday last week. I was bored going through the futures market in depth, and I ended up getting in on the Vikings at, I think, 22-1 to win the Super Bowl. So we'll see if they can lock up the NFC North. If teams have to go through Minnesota to make it far in the NFC playoffs, then I really like their chances. I really like their chances. You can say the similar thing about the Saints. What do you think of that Saints-Bears game? I had the Saints. I laid the points. And man, dude, they should have covered that. And Mark Ingram fumbled twice in the fourth quarter and drives where they were going to put the game away with a touchdown. And I was just like, God damn it. You had the Bears, didn't you?
I did have the Bears. I got them. I ended up waiting.
Did you feel like that was
I got it at 10, and then someone else who got them at 7.5. So, they actually get the Saints at 7.5. So, myself and someone I knew, we both won. Which is nice.
Hit the middle. Nice.
Yeah, he.
What do you think? Really does that feel like too, a lucky?
I don't know. I feel like if somebody's leg hadn't almost completely fallen off the Bears, I mean, that was a touchdown. That might have been a touchdown.
That was a touchdown. Yeah. It was early enough.
I guess he's really doing better. That was scary this morning. They're talking about taking a leg off for that. But that was an absolute horrifying injury. That was disgusting. Feel from I think they know what they are this season. They're letting Trubisky kind of find his way, and he didn't look awful.
Yeah, defense plays physical, and they create turnovers. So yeah, I don't know. Did you feel like that was a lucky cover?
It depends. Because that number was even just in the morning. That number was all over the place. Where 10 felt like a gift. But then once again, I think it might even touch 7, where at 7 you had to think about the Saints. Like, if the Saints can't win by a touchdown, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
at home.
Well, The Bears head into a bye, and the Saints stay in New Orleans, and they host Tampa Bay next week. Tampa Bay, who by all accounts sounds like Dirk Cutter, rather than being coach of the year, maybe one of the first coaches fired, and rightfully so. The Buccaneers look absolutely lost. On both sides of the football. Jameis Winston looks like he's regressed to, pre-rookie talent level for whatever reason. You got Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson rotting on the vine there. It's a really weird scene going on in Tampa Bay. Now they head to New Orleans. Opening line there was Saints -7.
It's still sitting right around there. That might be one I might grab, because you feel like that might get bet up over under the wrong side of 7. I might look at getting that, because that Buccaneers defense didn't really do too much to impress me. And I did bet Carolina, like I said, in a teaser. But it's not like Carolina was uber impressive either. They just were better than this team. They've regressed so hard. Such a sweetheart pick to win the division. And now, who knows what kind of effort you'll get out of them on the road? This season's essentially lost almost.
It's over for them.
They would have to rattle off 5-6 wins in a row just to get back talking about a wild card here.
Did you hear the groomer around Tampa Bay? John Gruden has specifically reached out and made amends with the Glazers so that they can bring him back into the fold.
Yeah, I've heard something about why would he leave? I guess the whole ESPN doesn't want to pay him when he gets paid anymore. So there might be it might legitimately happen. Gruden back in coaching, which I like that. He's just a fun guy.
Yeah. I think it's going to happen, and I think it's going to be in the NFL. I don't think he wants any of these coaching jobs that people keep floating. I don't think he wants he doesn't want to work that many. He doesn't want that. I don't know. I'm speaking for John Gruden like I know him, but that's my expectation is my buddy John. He's not interested in recruiting and doing, the minute the season's over, he's out on the recruiting trail, humping, trying to get commitments and competing with Nick Saban on the recruiting trail. I think he would be much more interested in an NFL job. That's where he belongs. Tampa Bay. Yeah. Sending him back to Tampa Bay would be funny. It'd be funny. Anyway. What did you think of the Panthers? So the Panthers, by the way, beat the Buccaneers in Tampa. Impressive win from them. Great performance by the Panthers defense. Julius Peppers continues to be my favorite part of this narrative that's going on down in Carolina. I love that he's back playing his ass off, sacking the shit out of the quarterback. It's so fun to watch Peppers again in Carolina blue. Anyway, the Panthers, they were the only underdog to win straight up yesterday. And they were like plus 101. Yeah, they were barely a dog. And they were the only underdog to win. Very bizarre week in the NFL when you have that many favorites winning straight up. And then you had a handful of underdogs cover, but not win outright. And that has not been the norm. It's usually, if the dog covers, they usually win. And if you took a lot of, if you weren't laying the points on some of the dogs yesterday, then you were not cashing winning tickets, which is where I was. That was the world I was living in. But that's beside the point. The Panthers now host ship has been righted, Atlanta Falcons, allegedly. They got a kind of not impressive win against the Jets in the monsoon in the Meadowlands. This was another – did you see what happened on this total? This was another miraculous lucky win.
Thank you.
Came in under – 45. I think I had 45.5 or 46 or something like that because I got in way early. And then as people kind of got word on how hard the rain was going to be falling, it got that down to like 43 and landed at 45. And it landed at 45 because they took a touchdown off the board on a punt return with a block in the back. Did you see that?
Yeah.
You
can't push people in the back. That's not fair. So.
You can't push people in the back. That's not fair.
That definitely affected the total. Was that the game where the total moved? It was Falcons -4 on the opener. Closed at 6.5, 7. So they won by 5, depends. Yep. And then the total was –
story.
Yeah, you tweeted about that. That's nuts.
Same story.
Went from 46 down to 40.
Yeah, that's right. It's the CLV came through for me on that one. It did not come through for me on the Washington Dallas under. That total opened at 50. I got under 50. It got bet down to like 44, and it looked like it was going to hit for me until Kirk Cousins threw the meaningless pick six as time expired. That was one of the in the life of an NFL totals bettor, I got a win thanks to a touchdown being taken off the board on a punt return, and I got a loss thanks to a meaningless pick six in the same day. And it just goes to show you what goes around comes around, I guess. The Falcons Panthers though, circling back on this, did you see what this opened at? If you haven't looked yet, what would you guess?
I'd probably line it at Panthers -1.5, 2, somewhere in there. I'm looking right at it.
Yeah.
Like I was already like, when you said that, I'm like, well, I can't unsee it. It's like
Andy looking into his crystal ball. Nice. Yeah, no, they opened this thing at Carolina -2. It does not, it looks like, if anything, it looks like there's not much interest to bet this game early. I think people want to kind of get a feel for what the health some of the players on the Panthers are before people get involved here, because there's minimal betting that I'm seeing. The total, 44. That might be the interesting angle to try to find an over or under angle on the total, because at first glance, I would think that's too low. This kind of has the feel of and you know, I'll have to check the weather. We'll have to check the health of some of these key players, I guess. But this to me seems like type of game where you know, both offenses are giving these defenses hell, and might be a fun over. The other game I wanted to ask you about that was from the morning game that was pretty interesting. Oh yeah, the Niners, man. Boy, the Niners are rested.
A lot of people took all those points. Oh.
Dude, if you're San Francisco right now and you had the opportunity to draft Deshaun Watson and instead you traded down to the third spot and you drafted a pass rusher who's having minimal impact for you this season, are you
I agree 100%.
This is a completely lost team. They don't know what they're doing on offense right now. They have some skilled players, Pierre Garçon, and you know, some, I like Goodwin is a fun wide receiver. They have some frisky tight ends, but the quality of play they're getting in the quarterback position between first Hoyer and now CJ Beathard is a full on F. And now they're talking about undecided quarterback for San Francisco against undecided quarterback for Arizona. Yet they hung Arizona minus -2 next week.
And going back, I mean, you talk about passing up on quarterbacks. You see, Schefter, I had to find this. Schefter had a tweet. Said the Sunday life of a Browns fan. It was 9:30. Browns lose. 1 p.m. Watch Carson Wentz. 4 p.m. Deshaun Watson. Nightcap. Steelers win. Like, yeah, that's a whole day of horrible.
That is
a lot of that goes for the Niners too, as far as passing up on certain people deciding to go with who they did.
Yeah, man. You bring in an offensive guru to be your head coach, and you don't give him the tools to run an effective offense. It's really shocking. And there, people are all saying, "Oh, well, they expect they're going to sign Kirk Cousins in the offseason." Well, great. Go spend all of your cap to bring in the 12th best quarterback in the league. Good on you. See how that worked out.
Good on you, Baltimore.
Good on you. So Niners are a disaster. Their defense against they held strong for a half and then their backs broke and they gave up big plays and, you know, failed to make the plays they needed to keep this inside the number. And the Philly train rolls on. Meanwhile, Philly is going to be an interesting fade next week, I have to say. They finally are heading up against a team with a legit pass rush. It was pretty apparent that they were lacking in the left without Peters as their left tackle. That was giving them some hell. Wentz looked uncomfortable at times against a really substandard front four from San Francisco. They were still able to kind of make Wentz uncomfortable. Now Philadelphia will be hosting the Denver Broncos, and we haven't seen Denver play this week. They're playing tonight in Kansas City. We'll get to that game in a bit. My confidence is completely shook, but I'm on Kansas City in that one. The Broncos then head to Philadelphia. We get to see what this pass rush can do to make Carson Wentz look, you know, come back to earth a little bit. You got a feel for how things are going to be in Pennsylvania on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't know. I faded them. I wanted to sell high on them, and they win by 50 points. So
it's one of
it is one of those tough ones where if the Broncos, let's say the Broncos just get blown out tonight or something down in Arrowhead, that kind of changes things for me, you know, coming off a devastating divisional loss and kind of setting them way back, even in the wild card position, I suppose. But it is in Philly, and gosh, they're just rolling. It'll be interesting.
They're just rolling. Yeah.
If Denver, you know, if Denver's catching, let's say Denver loses by 10, 15 points tonight. You go Philly.
Yeah, let's say tonight's game is like Kansas City 21, Denver 13, or something like that. Kind of low scoring, and Kansas City wins by double digits. You think you see Philadelphia get as high as -10, -9?
Eight and a half, nine. Is where I see the opening, I suppose. I guess we'll find out later, but that seems about right.
Oh, gosh.
You know, closer to a touchdown if Denver wins, and that's where you may want to grab some Denver. Maybe just say you don't have to bet it.
Right.
I should try to tell you that before you put your card out for the week, but
well,
you don't have to bet every game.
The reason I'm bringing these up is that up and down the card, it's kind of an ugly week, man. We got no New England this week. We got no Pittsburgh this week. Kansas City Dallas is probably the game of the week, I guess. But the primetime games look bad. Buffalo Jets, Oakland Miami is Sunday Night Football. Why in the fuck didn't they flex that? Good God, Oakland Miami, get out of here.
Oakland is supposed to be this great team. Yeah, your three sweetheart, you know, these are the teams. Oh, this is their year. It was Tennessee, Tampa Bay, and Oakland.
Yeah, really and truly. Those were the teams, right? Those were the teams that were going to make a leap. Thankfully, we were on Minnesota as one of the teams that was going to surprise, and they were surprised so far. That's about the only thing I was right on preseason turned out so far. Anyway, unless my personal campaign to get Jim Caldwell fired comes to fruition, I don't know if I'm going to be winning very many of the preseason props that we put into play. But that's another story. So Denver is shaping up as a play for me in that game. We'll keep an eye on what the line looks like after we see. Denver tonight in Kansas City, but hopefully we're going to get them at a discounted price over 8 points or so. Mm-hmm. And the Raiders and Bills game, I want to touch on real quick. I had 2 units on the over in that game, and it was an extremely, extremely frustrating game to watch because Ed Hockley and company made – They had penalty after penalty after penalty that had first order impacts on the score in the first three quarters of that game. They offensive pass interferences, holdings in inopportune places that took touchdowns into field goal. I mean, field goal attempts. It was a really, really frustrating game to watch. And all said, it all kind of came full circle. Thankfully. LeSean McCoy busted out that 40-yard touchdown in putting the game away and took that thing over the total. Otherwise, if that 2-unit play hadn't cashed, I would be down at the blood bank trying to donate some blood for cash this morning, I think, or trying to figure out if I could go on the black market and sell a kidney or something like that. Because that of anything, that kind of saved my ass. This last week kept me out of the deep red. Did you watch any of that game?
I didn't catch much of that, but boy, I would have thought Oakland would have done a little better. Talk about the Pythagorean regress here is really kind of overdoing it this year.
Yeah, it's biting them in the ass hard. Them and Detroit. Yes. Oakland and Detroit, the two teams that deserve the most Pythagorean regression, are getting a healthy dose of it this season. Yeah, yikes, man. That we see now Buffalo. Buffalo has a short week. They play the Jets on the road on Thursday night. The Jets, man. What do we make of these fools? Are they frauds, or are they actually kind of a little frisky good?
they get lucky a little too, but
they get lucky a lot.
I think that defense is pretty decent.
I think it is too.
That dime to the corner of the end zone, McCown tossed. He hasn't looked terrible. It's not like the Falcons defense is setting to write home about, but they seem to move the ball a little here and there, and I don't think they're as awful as they're supposed to be. They seem to be, I mean, just looking back at their games, they've been blown out once or twice, you'd think. But yeah, I mean, just their points on the season. They are 3-5, and they've been outscored by 29 points total.
Jesus.
They keep them close. Just they
keep them close.
Yeah, it's kind of what they do. They've just been keeping it inside the number, like the Dolphins. Well, that was a push, depending on what number you got with that Dolphins loss. But they were leading New England. They beat the Browns. They beat the Jags. They beat the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I think that the Raiders game, that was a big loss.
And that was the second week on the road, though. And yeah, the Raiders the Bills, were kicking. Yeah.
The Bills, they kept it within the number, I think. They only lost by 8 or 9.
Yeah, they did.
They seem to be just right there where
cover machines.
You know, and I'm not endorsing McCown by any means, but they're another team that, boy, if they had a decent quarterback and maybe one more receiver, they wouldn't be awful.
Yeah.
AFC East is a lot of surprising results in general with all four of those teams.
Ups and downs all over the place. I'm probably going to be back in the Jets this weekend or this Thursday. It's set up as a play for me. It opened at 3.5. The Jets took some early money. You can get a pretty friendly juice 3 right now, or you can pay a little juice to get 3.5. I think the Jets win this game. A couple of angles that are going to be in play for me. One is rookie head coach Sean McDermott for Buffalo is obviously he's going to be around for a while. I really like what he's doing. Everything he's doing has impressed me so far. This still, though, is a tough spot for him because this is his first year running the show when they have to, you know, pull the old rookie head coach on Thursday night fade for me here and back in the Jets. Jets are backs against the wall, too. They're better than people thought. They probably thought they were going to be looking to try to make a wild card run, and this is the game that makes it or breaks it for them. So I think we do see them pull out the stops a little bit here. We see the best of their defense, maybe. When we see Jets come through with the victory. Total's pretty low. Opened at 42, got bet up to 43. I think over is the right side here because this feels like a 24-20 Jets kind of a win. So keeping an eye on that line, and I will probably be jacked back in the Jets at least plus 3, if not on the money line.
I was actually looking maybe on that over. It's sitting a little low for good defense, but short week good defense. So I can see the Jets, you know, putting up 21, 24 points, and I don't know, Shady's gonna shady. So I can definitely see both teams scoring in the mid to upper 20s.
It's 42-43.
I gotta find it here.
42-43. So the one thing to keep an eye on is going to be the wind. I think the kicker for the Jets is a little dicey. Canizero.
Every single kicker. People that had the Vikings minus 10.5. And then the Browns score, and you know, it's early, and you're thinking, oh, they missed an extra point. Boy, that 10.5 is looking a little juicier now. that might come into play. And then right away, the Vikings first touchdown, they miss one. Like, well, throw that out the window.
Yep. The kicker for the Jets is going to have a tough time if this ends up being a weather game. So just keep an eye on what the wind is looking like. If it's 15, 20 mile an hour winds, then the over becomes a no bueno, in my opinion. The going down the rest of the games from the morning, I didn't watch much of the Colts Bengals. Did you watch any of that?
God, no.
Yeah, that was awful. Somehow the Bengals won. Yeah. Somehow the Colts covered. Somehow the game went over off. But I think Joe, you made a great point. Like, why don't they just get the ball to Joe Mixon? I think Joe Mixon was like the star of that game, right?
Well, he had like at one point I was seeing some stats. I didn't check the final box score on that one yet, but he had like 3 catches for 80 yards or something at one point. Like he's a playmaker. It just one of those weird things where he'll go out and do some things really well, and then again, let's give it to Gio like 3 straight plays so we can get the punter in some action, I guess.
Yeah, so Cincinnati heads to Jacksonville to play the Jags, who are coming off their bye. And the recreational bettor wasted no time hammering the Jags and hammering the under here. I'm seeing very lopsided splits on the in the betting market right now in support of the Jags and the under. They opened it at Jacksonville -3.5 with a pretty favorable juice. Yeah, and the total, they opened it at 39.5. It's still sitting at 39.5, but I'm looking at 94% of bets on the under already. So that seems to be the popular side. So what do you think? Is this setting up as a contrarian look, or a stay away entirely?
Stay away for me for now. Away. There's not a good situation for me to back the Bengals. Who knows what you're getting from the Bengals? It's one of the worst teams as far as showing up one week and not the next. So,
One of the worst. Yeah.
Staying away for now, but we'll see. You know, the Jaguars and Fournette looks like Fournette's probable. He's going to make the injury report, but he'll play again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I might talk myself into the over there. We'll see how it goes. Because I feel like you can get some defensive touchdowns, don't you think? Both sides could get defensive touchdowns. I don't know.
Yeah, those are picks. Those are pick six machines there.
I know. There sure are. And they're playing at the Jags defense for whatever reason. Tends to play a little better on the road. Have you noticed that? Jags defense at home is giving up a little bit more yardage than they are on the road for whatever reason. Can't quite put my finger on it. The last of the morning games to touch on real quick, the Chargers. But let me down on my 2-unit play at +7 against the Patriots. And this was so frustrating and so nerve-wracking to watch this game. You knew when the dipshit punt returner ran backwards into the end zone to get the safety. You knew that those 2 points were going to come into play. You knew that when the refs called that soft-ass offensive pass interference that took the touchdown away from Terrence Williams, you knew that was going to be a big deal. You knew when San Diego went for 2, they did not have to go for 2. Anthony Lynn made lots of terrible decisions in that game. And as good as a guy like Sean McDermott has been as a rookie head coach, Anthony Lynn has not been good. And the decisions he was making in terms of going for it on 4th down or trying long field goals or going for 2 in that spot. Like, so many things were just extremely frustrating in that game. And lo and behold, even though there were some missed Patriots field goals, and I know I have to be a little bit fair to call this out because, you know, it's not so one-sided. This was a bad beat. With 5 minutes to go, the Chargers were inside this number and they had the ball. And you thought maybe there was a chance. Maybe there was a chance they could hold on for a cover or a win even, and not to be. They give the ball back. Terrible special teams, terrible punts, terrible penalties on punts from the Chargers all fucking day. And they let the Patriots drive the field, eat the clock, kick a field goal to go up by 8, and we lose a 2-unit play by a single point, which is just terrific. Does that about capture your feelings on that game, or did you see anything I didn't see?
Yeah, I mean, man, things that were 2-point things. Plays. I mean, running into your own end zone like some sort of moron who doesn't know what's going on, and then the 2-point conversion that, you know, everyone says the whole, well, you say that, right? It looks easy from at home, but some of the decisions that are made on Sunday afternoons by grown men who are paid millions of dollars to coach these teams is just baffling. Basically, everything. Jim Caldwell did.
We haven't even gotten to that yet.
It makes you sad. You're paying this guy.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. The Lions just extended Caldwell for F's sake. Oh, God. Anyway, but Anthony Lynn, he gets a D for his performance on Sunday.
And that's only because we're grading on a curve with Caldwell.
That's right. I can't
Caldwell give him didn't even spell his alpha. Name right on the test.
Exactly. Caldwell fell down with a 0.0. The Chargers not coming through on the cover really stung. Thankfully they are on bye next week, so we don't have to make a tough decision about backing them again, because I need at least a week off to kind of heal some of the emotional wounds from that game. Patriots also on bye this week. We get a week off of them. When we next see the Patriots, they're going to be up in Denver at altitude and probably going to line up have to fade him again, and hopefully it doesn't end up as bad as this one. But with that, let's move on. The afternoon games were pretty interesting yesterday. Very entertaining. We talked about how the Cowboys Redskins under got busted. That felt like a Redskins kind of game for a good two quarters. That
fumbles on that block kick.
Yeah, that block kick run back to set up the touchdown swung momentum in a way I haven't seen in a long time. After that play, like, the Redskins just kind of got deflated, and like you can see, like, the Redskins have had a lot of good first halves this year and a lot of bad second halves this year. We've made jokes about fade the Redskins second half, like it's a real thing. And you can kind of tell that the team is owning it. You know, the team is like, we just can't catch a break in these games. We're just going to lose. And they just, they stink in the second half. And it's become part of their identity. So by all means, circle the Redskins to fade in the second half. Hopefully there's going to be a good situation setting up for exactly that this weekend. Seattle hosts the Redskins up in the pretty beautiful Pacific Northwest. We'll talk about the Seattle-Houston game in just a second. But in general, have you noticed that Seattle has a real tendency to start slow. They are slow starters, man. They played sloppy, ugly football for a lot of that first half, especially on defense. And they really don't get going until the fourth quarter of a lot of games. And so you could definitely see a situation here where Washington goes into Seattle, looks pretty good in the first half, and then just totally deflates in the second half. So keep that one circled.
When you have game open team versus a team that forgets to come out of the locker room at halftime.
Yeah, it's a beautiful setup. Let's talk about the Seattle Houston game for a second, because it was a really good game. Man, Deshaun Watson is as good as you ever could have hoped for a kid coming out of college with his skill set. And Russell Wilson, you know, I think you're going to get shortchanged on your Russell Wilson MVP prop, because he's not really compiling the statistics like some of the other folks in the league. But boy, does he have it when it counts. He's effectively the entire offense for the Seahawks. The Seahawks have the least effective running game that I've seen in years. And they kept doing
no running backs, no line.
They kept doing it yesterday.
No hope. You got to keep him honest, I guess. But maybe one out of like eight plays dive into the line for a yard.
He's being handicapped by his offensive coordinator, who's running on first down so predictably and so consistently that he's basically playing Canadian Football League rules, where he has, you know, two downs to get 10 yards and just give up on running on Seattle until you pick your offer.
One of the announcers was very complimentary of, this is what they've always done that's been successful is this play action. Yeah, I don't think they respect the run that much. The play action, like they were play actioning, and you know they were in the backfield with a pass rush at that point. They weren't respecting the run. He did a great job escaping pressure because I suppose just from experience from the entire game, you know, just it's what you're used to doing the entire day and the entire season. Honestly, last year too, boy, he gets pressured. I'd love to see those stats as far as percentage of dropbacks where he gets some sort of pressure on him. All of them.
Yeah.
But and I needed that one. I had a teaser basically that was just Seattle money line because I teased him off the six. And yeah, that one wasn't looking good for big chunks of the game where they just couldn't stop the rookie of the year. Let's call that now.
Yeah, really, truly. The rookie of the decade. The one thing I'll bitch about a little bit. Seattle should have covered that easy. They really should have.
Mm-hmm.
They had three. They had three possessions in the third quarter and fourth quarter. They had three possessions inside the Texans 10. The first time they got to the goal line and settled for a field goal. The second time they got to the goal line and settled for a field goal. The third time they got inside the 10, Wilson threw an ugly ass pick. The opportunities were there.
I thought that was done.
When he threw that pick, that looked like that was game set match. But they had ample opportunities to cover that spread, and it felt like it was coming, and they just couldn't quite plug it in. And it really is a shame because that would have been a nice win. So ended up with two losers in the afternoon instead of two winners, and what I thought we were on the right side of both. But what are you going to do? The Texans impressed. I'll say that much. We got to give Watson all the credit in the world. He is he's for real.
Yeah, I felt bad for the defensive back. You can't cover a guy for 15 seconds. Like he was getting pressure and he was sliding out of it. He looked like Russell Wilson. And they found a guy. They found a guy that plays big in big spots.
What do you think of this line they hung for Indianapolis 13? That's awful big. That's a big number.
It is big, but you're gonna back the Colts, and
I don't know, man. 13 is big.
I won't be on either side of this. It'd take a lot to convince me, but boy, I might hit that over.
49. 48.5, 49. That's a
defense is anything magical right now. With you lose.
No, they're bad.
Essentially, your best two players. I could see the Texans winning inside the number and both teams in the 30s.
Shoot, we saw Houston score over this total as their team total against Tennessee at home. Yeah. Why not against Indianapolis? No, I think that the over is my love here. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool. I think we covered just about everything. The last of the games yesterday, that was real tough to watch. And thankfully, there was some amazing drama in baseball that you could flip over to kind of take your mind off of the fact that Lions-Steelers game, you had two offenses moving the ball easily and just refusing to score points. So, over 45 was a dead bed walking. I meant to look this up today so I could have it for the podcast, but I forgot. They amassed like something like 850 yards.
And it was like a lot.
If you go to like the last 10 years of football scores and you look at games where you have 850 yards of offense, like the average point scored is like well over 45. I mean, it is. To only end up with 35 points after having that much offense is so statistically rare that, you know, we're not going to see it again for a while, probably. But, you know, that's enough whining and complaining, I suppose.
The Lions did inside the. And you talk about the Skins Cowboys game with the big, you know, the big swing. How about the Lions game going to punch it in first and goal right down there? They don't get it, and then the Steelers score. As far as a side, you know, if you had Steelers minus three, you were wrong.
Yeah, 14 points.
You won, but you. That happens all the time where you probably didn't have the right spot to go to the ticket. But yeah, the Lions, the over was frustrating for you, obviously. But man, if you had the Lions plus three, that had to be just awful to watch. They couldn't score from inside the five 100 times, yet in the same spot the Steelers scored.
Going the other way.
going the other direction for 97.
Yeah.
That was an ugly thing.
Let me before we get off this, because I guess I said I'm done complaining. I guess I'm not actually done.
one more. Yeah.
When you're down two, and you
the math is not. They need a guy to help you with it. Like kick. It depends on the time of the game, but that was a kick the field goal spot for them.
Yes, when you're down two and you can kick the field goal to take the lead, kick the field goal and take the lead.
Yeah.
When you're down eight and you need a touchdown and a two-point conversion to tie the game, go for the touchdown. Like, that, there is no explaining it. And, I mean, so much of it is like –
You definitely had those mixed up. So.
No, and it was like a sociology or a psychology experiment playing out in real time, you know? And like, you could tell, like, he didn't really want to go for it the first time, but he did, and he got burned. And so he was never going to go for it again. And then, you know, his offensive coordinator, Jim Bob Cooter. The Cooter stinks right now. His play calling.
I'm eating here.
At the goal line.
I'm getting hungry though. So let's wrap this shit up. It's supposed to be a short one.
The play calling
inside the five was pretty atrocious, and they had some bad luck too.
So
what do you think tonight?
Tonight I'm on the like I said, my confidence is shaken. But that all that told, the bets are in, so there's no point pussyfooting around it. I'm on the Chiefs. I could buy out actually because it's up to 7.5, I guess, right? Maybe not a good number at some place. I'm on the Chiefs at +7. I mean -7. They're home. I've loved the way that the Chiefs have looked in most of their primetime games this year. The Raiders final score meltdown accepted. But the Chiefs, particularly at home, in prime time this year, have been a great, great look. Andy Reid has had 10 days to prepare for this very, very fierce Denver defense. I still don't think Denver's necessarily got it together. I'm looking down the road the next 2 weeks at backing Denver, so maybe partially I'm on the Chiefs out of hopefulness, which is never a good place to be. I hope we see a comfortable win here for the Chiefs, and people really, you know, after last week getting shut out against the Chargers 21-0, I'm looking for another week of struggles coming from the Denver offense. And then we get a little bit of better price against them, against Philly and against New England the next 2 weeks. And that's about all I got, man. I don't have a look on the over or under, but I think the under is probably the right side. You got to play on anything?
If I had to play, I'd play Chiefs. Just this seems like it's early. It's still early. It's midseason, but it feels like a must win after some rocky weeks here in the division home. This is a game you have to win, and you should try to put this kind of team away. You're supposed to be better. You're supposed to be a favorite in the AFC right now. You got to get back to where you're, you know, dancing through Brunga, and Andy Reid had some extra time, and we all know how that goes. So a Chiefs win for sure. Hopefully they'd cover.
The Raiders just lost. The Raiders just lost. The Chargers just lost. This is your opportunity if you're Kansas City to reestablish yourselves as the favorite in division. You had 10 days to prepare for this team. Wait, no, they've had 11 days because they played Thursday to Monday. This is another one of those weird Thursday to Monday gaps. How have Thursday to Monday teams done? Have they covered every single time so far?
I think so. They have.
I got to go back and look, but Philly covered last week off Thursday to Monday. The Bears covered against the Vikings off Thursday to Monday. You know, when you give a team a little extra rest midseason to get right, they didn't have a full-on bye, which sometimes can cool a team off. But, you know, we know what Andy Reid is with extra rest, and I think we see them put together quite the game plan today to score some points against a tough Denver defense and get this number through the window for us.
Sure, I'm down.
Okay, cool. Good deal. Great pod, as always. Let me edit this and get it up for the people. Getting a lot of great responses. I really appreciate everyone who's taking the time to subscribe and rate us and give us feedback. Really like that that we're getting the kind of response we're getting from all of you folks who are listening. So thank you as always, and we will talk to you on Wednesday. Mm-hmm.